our good friend, Dr. Tim, director of Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, project of the Second Amendment Foundation. I wish you had a better title. That's so hard to say, Doctors for. It's too long. You need to shorten the name of the group. But anyway, here's Dr. Tim.
Hello, everybody. Peggy, you can just call us DRGO if you want to. And don't forget that second part, a project of the Second Amendment Foundation. Last year, the Claremont Institute and DRGO parted ways on totally friendly terms after 17 years. And the Second Amendment Foundation, Alan Gottlieb, kindly took us into the Second Amendment Foundation family. I find that a very exciting development. We're going to be doing a lot more in the future as a result of that association. Today I want to talk to you about something that I touched on last year, and we're right here in Ground Zero. How far is Ocala from us here today? About an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. That is where it all started, the Dox versus Glocks law here in Florida. It's also known as, in its current form, the litigation surrounding it is called Wolschlager versus the governor of the state of Florida. The Dox versus Glocks law, the Firearm Owners Privacy Act, is the bone of contention with this litigation. Here's what a little bit of background. In the summer of 2010 in Ocala, a young mother took her baby daughter into the pediatrician just for a well baby checkup. And the pediatrician, following American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines, asked Amber Ullman, this young mother, do you have any guns in your home? And when Mrs. Ullman refused to answer the pediatrician on the grounds of it being a privacy invasion, the doctor terminated her and her baby daughter from his practice. Now, that was perfectly within the doctor's rights, but I'll tell you, it did not go over well with the people of Florida. And as a result, and through the hard work and aggressive representation of Marion Hammer and the Unified Sportsmen of Florida, there was a bill in the legislature that was passed into law last year, 2011, called the Firearm Owners Privacy Act. This law, in its final form, provides for two things. First of all, it makes it grounds for disciplinary action against a doctor or other healthcare practitioner to ask their patients about firearm ownership or to record information about firearm ownership in the patient medical record. Those two things. But, and this is what a lot of people don't know, the law makes an exception for cases where the healthcare practitioner believes in good faith that information about firearms ownership is relevant to the medical care or the safety of the patient. That's a huge loophole. It basically renders the law toothless. It makes it pretty much an expression of the intent of the legislature and not much more. And why is that? Well, the whole premise of the anti-gun rights medical organization's policy, groups like the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AMA, and other medical groups, is that asking patients about guns in the home is the standard of medical care. That's their plan. Well, a group of doctors and medical organizations, including the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Family Physicians, and the American College of Physicians, all the internal medicine doctors, sued in federal court and won a permanent injunction against enforcement of the law. So the law is placed on hold for now. But Governor Scott is appealing the injunction to the United States Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit. So it's clear that the governor believes that there is political support for this law. This week, counsel for the Claremont Institute's Center for Constitutional Jurisprudence filed an amicus curiae brief with the court on the side of the governor, requesting that the court reverse that injunction and let the law be enforced. And Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership is also an amicus on that brief. The brief is going to be up on our website, our new website for DRGO, I hope as soon as the crew gets back from the conference here and gets back to work in Washington. Our website, by the way, is www.drgo.us. And check it out. You'll see some new things that we've been doing there, including an article that I was asked to write by the Orlando Sentinel right here in town about this issue. Here's a summary of the arguments in the brief that gives you pretty much the current position of our side in this whole issue. First, the practice of doctors interrogating their patients about guns in the home is an unwarranted invasion of privacy that can disrupt the trusting doctor-patient relationship. And this is something you've heard me say from this podium for quite a few years now. The word is getting out, and this is now going to be in front of the eyes of the court to consider this. This is something that they will not hear from the other side, and they never do hear from the other side. Second, the accompanying practice of doctors recording that information in the patient's medical record establishes a permanent blemish on the patient's record in the eyes of some doctors who see their role as political agents advocating against gun owners' rights. And Eric Royce was asking about this yesterday. People are concerned about this, especially in this day and age when a medical record is not that manila folder with a few dog-eared sheets in it that the doctor takes down when you come into the office and then puts back up into on a shelf when you leave. Everything is electronic now, or soon will be. Especially since the passage of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, also known as the stimulus bill, in addition to spending all of our money, the government said that every doctor now has to have your medical records computerized by, I think, 2014. There is a target year, which is a huge burden on doctors, by the way, doctors' offices. It's quite a bit of effort for them to get up to that. But they are going to do it, and the bigger medical groups have long ago done it. This sensitive information, as the brief says, will follow the patient and be disclosed to every health professional the patient ever sees for advice or treatment. And we know that the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AMA, and these other groups all advise all doctors to try to persuade their patients to get rid of their guns. So that's going to be on your medical record if you answer that question. A fourth point, and I quote now from the brief, the law does not prohibit physicians from passing along information about firearm safety. The act merely prevents a physician from exploiting the doctor-patient relationship to harass or discriminate against a patient based on the exercise of his constitutional right to own a firearm. End of quote. And again, this is an important point that the brief makes. It ties into the next point. The act in no way restricts the First Amendment rights of physicians who wish to advocate against gun ownership or any other constitutional freedom. They remain free to make their arguments outside of the doctor-patient relationship. The act protects patients, however, from doctors who wish to advocate against the Constitution and disguise it as medical treatment and then to make a permanent record of that patient's responses. This directly addresses Judge Marcia Cook's decision when she issued her injunction in the federal district court in South Florida. Her main contention was that the law was unconstitutional because it restricted doctors' First Amendment rights. Well, nowhere in the brief did she acknowledge that there is precedent, ample precedent, in state laws all over the country for restricting physician speech. We have laws that restrict doctor speech in a number of areas. A doctor can't try to offer a business relationship to a patient, try to sell them real estate on the side, or, you know, probably the most controversial and famous one is a doctor can't propose a romantic relationship with a patient. And some doctors, of course, have gotten into trouble on that basis. So there's ample precedent for restricting doctors' speech to patients. The brief, of course, also gives an account of how the Dox versus Glocks law protects the constitutional rights of Florida citizens to keep and bear arms. And the summary of this argument is contained nicely in this quote from the brief: "The act shields patients from a doctor placing his political disagreement with the patient's exercise of a constitutional right on the permanent medical record. This law merely gives patients a small degree of power to assert in the doctor's office against a physician who operates in an intimidating position of authority and expertise." And of course, this section of the brief will tell the court, once again, the Court of Appeals, what Judge Marsha Cook studiously avoided in her injunction against the law back in July. Judge Cook ignored the elephant in the living room, which is the well-documented and ongoing campaign of anti-gun rights advocacy, which has been waged by organized medicine for the last two decades. Now the Court of Appeals will at least be informed that their motive for grilling patients is a political one and not a medical one. So in conclusion, we can see that the greatest good to come from passage of this Florida Firearm Owners Privacy Act is this: whether it's upheld in the courts or not, the law and its legal challenge have brought to the public's attention the ongoing problem of widespread ethical boundary violations by doctors. And doctors have now been put on notice. When they bring anti-gun politics into the exam room, they do so at their own risk. Thank you. And I want to say just once again that Doctors for Responsible Gun Ownership, with the assistance now of the Second Amendment Foundation, is going to be doing membership development, membership outreach, social media, and a lot more activity. So look for that. Thank you all for coming. It's good to see you.